Good afternoon. My name is Anthony Adewumi. I am a recent graduate of University of Memphis, the best law school in Tennessee, School of Law. I'm also a current master's student at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland, pursuing my LLM in international commercial law. And it's very cold in Scotland, so I'm very glad to be back home in the States. I wrote this paper in law school last year before I graduated. It's a little different. It's a little different field. I kind of want to bring the issue of race to the forefront of healthcare discussion. So my title is Looking Beyond the Dollar Sign, the Detrimental Effect on African Americans for States Not Accepting the Medicaid Expansion Under the ACA. I am an unemployed student, so I have no disclosure or no deep pockets at all at the moment. So structure on presentation, I'll give an introduction, brief talk about Medicaid and Medicaid expansion under the ACA. I'll throw out a few numbers, statistics. I'm not a big math person, but I found a few percentages that might give a good idea. Then I'll talk about race and welfare, and then I'll talk about what it all means for African Americans. So in law school, you know, I learned that we like to learn a lot of big words, like de facto discrimination. All that means is that that's a discrimination in practice and applicability, but it's not stated in the law. And my focus group for this presentation is solely economically disadvantaged African Americans, although there's much more groups we could have talked about concerning the Medicaid expansion. So this is my personal disclosure. I will be talking about race. I know when we talk about race, people get uncomfortable, people kind of get all itchy. I'm talking about race. I'm not accusing anybody of being racist. I haven't talked to any governors. I'm just saying, let's talk about race. So I'm very open to different perspectives. I'm open to critiques. So that's my email address. Please email me any ideas you have. And that would be nice and uncomfortable. Let's talk about race. Oh, and also, I'm a big iPhone user, so I love emojis. So you might see a lot of emojis in my presentation. So the thesis of my paper was, due to health disparities among economically disadvantaged African Americans, the refusal of certain states to expand Medicaid under the ACA is a form of de facto discrimination. So being from Tennessee, I looked at four states. I'm a kind of SEC fan, college football, so I look at Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia. So a food for thought. Beyond the economical reasons, does race or could race possibly play a factor for states refusing to expand Medicaid? So just think about that, I guess, throughout the presentation. Just a quick background on Medicaid. I won't spend too much time reading word for word what Medicaid is, but it's a joint program funded by the federal government and state governments and provides health insurance to people with low incomes. Before the ACA, there was a certain group of people who were required to be covered by Medicaid. You had pregnant women, children under the age of 6, with family incomes below 133% of the federal poverty line. You had children ages 6 to 18 with a certain income level. You have parents and caretakers. And then you have elderly people that qualify for SSI. And then came Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, which received a mixed review when it was first introduced. That's why I put the picture up there. I love Barack Obama. I just wanted to show that, you know, when he implemented the ACA or proposed it, it kind of received a lot of attention from different people. So under the ACA, Medicaid expansion, it intended that all states would expand Medicaid to cover nearly everyone under the age of 65 who were not pregnant, not entitled to Medicare, and not described in the already existing mandatory coverage. And it was going to expand Medicaid coverage to incomes at or below 138% of the federal poverty line. Also, the federal government promised to pay 100% of the cost from 2014 to 2016, and they were gradually decreased to pay 90% in 2020, a year after. So states will have to cover the difference between, or that 10% difference, which is the economic reason a lot of people, well, southern states did not want to expand because they were concerned about how we'd be able to afford this 10% gap. Also, they say required that states provide newly eligible Medicaid beneficiaries with a benchmark benefit package, which was a category of just essential health benefits. And so originally the ACA proposed that all states were required to expand Medicaid or they'll lose their Medicaid benefits. As we all know, states are not like that, and if you don't like something, what do? You sue. And then when you sue, you work your way up to the Supreme Court and they make a decision. And that's when we had the Supreme Court case, the Sebelius case. And Supreme Court, well, first of all, the case was really, really long. And I know me being a law student, I despise long opinions, but I won't bore you all with the long opinion. I'll give you three bullet points about the opinion It'd be a take-home message. First of all, the Supreme Court said it was unconstitutional for the federal government to require all states to participate in Medicaid expansion. I believe it was Justice Roberts who quoted that it's essentially putting a gun to the head of the states, making them expand. So through all those thousands of pages, the Supreme Court essentially said that the Medicaid expansion is optional for states. The states could choose whether or not they want to expand Medicaid or not. And this is how states reacted. I got this grant from my Kaiser family, the Kaiser Foundation. We had 27 states, including D.C., that chose to expand. We had 19 states that did not expand, and they still have 4 states to watch. And Tennessee is one of the states that are currently being watched because although they haven't accepted Medicaid, there has been some inclination that they are considering it, or at least is what Governor Haslam has stated, that he's considering expanding. So let's talk about African Americans in Medicaid. These are a few numbers. 2011, African Americans were almost twice as likely as whites to be uninsured. And although African Americans make up only about 14% of the population, they account for at least 20% of Medicaid enrollees. Under expansion, approximately 4 million legally present non-elderly African Americans would be newly eligible for Medicaid. And as of 2011, nearly 1 in 5 African Americans were uninsured, and nearly 2 in 3 African Americans had incomes below the Medicaid expansion limit. So let's talk about 4 focus states. In 2011, we had at least 45% of Medicaid enrollees in Georgia and Alabama were African American. 67% in Mississippi were African American. About 27% in Tennessee were African American. Now, if these states were to expand, 50% of newly eligible Medicaid applicants would have been African American in Mississippi. 36% would have been African American in Alabama. 34% in Georgia, and 22% in Tennessee. Take a close look at my sweet state, Tennessee. 17% of the Tennessee population are African Americans. And a high, I thought this was wrong, but I looked at it twice and 3 times. About 16% of African Americans in Tennessee are uninsured. Nearly 118,000 African Americans in Tennessee would gain access if Tennessee chose to expand Medicaid. I looked at a recent update in 2014, in August of this year. Governor Haslam said that he's in talks with federal officials, and he may submit a plan to expand Medicaid in Tennessee. However, there are no details were provided about the expansion. And with the recent election, I don't know Governor Haslam, but I'm not sure if the talks will go very far. But we'll see about that. Race and welfare. I found a Law Review article by Professor Lee Harris that he wrote while he was in school. And he basically offered a race-based explanation why states distribute very amounts of cash based on race, and he suggested that the level of cash given to states is motivated at least in part by race and African and the perception of welfare amongst African Americans. He made 2 arguments. He said that poor African Americans are usually disadvantaged when it comes to cash assistance programs because they are not involved in politics such as voting, which is a big issue among the black community, trying to get African Americans to be more active in voting, and also just the history of discrimination against African Americans in welfare programs. For example, in 1935, under the New Deal, states, especially southern states, were free to administer federal funds with very little oversight. So you would have states that were able to basically exclude African American domestic and agricultural workers from the aid to dependent children coverage. So my question is, does the same thing apply to Medicaid? You know, does race play a factor in certain states choosing not to expand Medicaid? I would say directly probably not, just because I don't know any of these legislators personally. I don't know their motives. But, and also, you know, I'm learning, going to school in Scotland, taking international commercial law, I'm learning that money makes the world go round. It's very important. So I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, money is not a legitimate reason. The economic concerns of how the states will cover that 10% in 2020 and after, it's a legitimate concern. However, when it comes to politics and law, money is always a concern. So looking beyond the dollar sign, you know, is race a possible factor? Directly, no. I'm not accusing states of being outright racist. However, I do feel like race should not be an ignored factor when it comes to implementing such programs in these states. You know, is it a coincidence that, you know, my 4 focus states have a long history of discrimination, a long history of discrimination against African Americans, talk about the Jim Crow South era, the Civil Rights Movement, the sit-ins, you know, about the luncheons, the water hose, the dogs. We see the pictures every February and in the history books. So, you know, is it a coincidence that these states refuse to expand Medicaid when it detrimentally affects African Americans? I believe it's not a coincidence. I believe that refusing to expand Medicaid leaves many poor African Americans uninsured. Although the ACA is a very complex law, the general purpose was to provide coverage for more people. And so refusing to expand Medicaid essentially deters or essentially brings down the purpose of the ACA, which was to provide a Medicaid expansion. Racially motivated or not, states that refuse to expand Medicaid are having a discriminatory impact on African Americans. So what does this mean for African Americans? Many African Americans will remain uninsured. Although there is a health exchange market, the problem is that a lot of African Americans still cannot afford to pay for insurance in the market, therefore they still remain uninsured. They still fall within that Medicaid gap. I mean, they can depend on nonprofit medical centers and community centers, but you still need that quality preventive care from a doctor, and if you can't afford it, you're kind of out of luck, which is sad. And you have the emergency rooms as well, but that does not go unbilled. You still will be billed for emergency rooms visits. I know in Scotland it's a little different. It's going to have universal health care. I actually applied for it, which is pretty cool. So basically, you can go to the hospital, you come out, bill free. The only problem is that you have to wait. You usually make an appointment 2 weeks in advance. So it sounds cool, but, we're kind of impatient here in the States. So I don't think, I don't know if that would actually work, but it's an idea, though. We might look into. I just thought this was interesting. In October this year, the Tennessee NAACP chapter actually held a mock funeral in front of the state capitol to essentially mourn the denial of healthcare, of Medicaid expansion, which I think is a great first step to advocating for Medicaid expansion. I think we need more of that. I think we need more advocacy groups going to legislatures and telling them, hey, we need to expand Medicaid. To conclude, race needs to be considered in healthcare legislation. States that choose not to expand Medicaid disproportionately affect African Americans, and it's a form of de facto discrimination. Like I said earlier, I think we need more people advocating. We need more minorities in positions of power to advocate for these rights. I guess people like myself, I guess. Also, I thought about what else could states do? Could states possibly bring a lawsuit under some title for not expanding Medicaid? I looked into, I believe, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. Could states bring a lawsuit? I don't think they can, because I think the Supreme Court has ruled that private citizens cannot bring lawsuits unless it's intentional discrimination. And so it'd be kind of hard to prove intentional discrimination with this. It's more of the disparate impact. So it's a little harder to prove. However, I still think that's something to look into maybe in the future. Hopefully I might actually continue this research for next year. I might have some new ideas on how we can actually fight for Medicaid to be expanded. So I understand that money is a big concern. Money is always a concern. And, I think that is legitimate. How will states fund this? But I do feel like race does play a factor in states refusing to expand Medicaid. I do feel like we should not be uncomfortable with talking about race. And not just for African-Americans, Latinos, and even the expansion affects the majority of Caucasians, because a lot of them depend on Medicaid as well, and they cannot receive coverage today. So I do think race should be a factor. I don't want to come up here and blame the system, blame the man. I know we always hear about that, but I do feel like race should be an issue that should be discussed, and it should be presented to legislation when they pass bills. A lot of times legislation, we propose bills and say, why should we do this? Why should we pass this law? We should also talk about what happens if we do not pass this law. Who do we hurt when we do not pass this law? Who do we hurt when we don't expand Medicaid? So hopefully, we'll get more people to fight for Medicaid expansion, and hopefully we'll see a change. And this is my first time presenting, so I was a little excited and nervous. I actually finished faster than I thought. But thank you all for your time. Thank you, Slide, actually. Thank you to the APHA. I came here a few years ago in Cornell West spoke. I was a college student. I had no idea I was going to be doing this in the future, but it seems so cool. I feel so professional right now. So thank you all.